Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name is John Wesley, that some of you may know by now, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I'm a Messianic pastor and a rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truth hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that often tend to hinder our spiritual relationship, both with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, Yahushua, Jesus the Christ. Now, at this time, I have the distinct pleasure and honor to also introduce to you the other half of our hosting, and that is the other co-host is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John. As always, it is a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God and to co-host the show with you. This is our 65th show where we're continuing to dive deep within the question of what does it mean that the love of many will grow cold, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, and we're going to go ahead and pray, and then I will allow Evangelist Anita to do a summation of where we are up to this point, and then we will continue with this particular answering of the. So, Father, thank you first and foremost for just being who you are in our life. There's a passage of Scripture that talks about how you spoke to the children of Jacob and said to them that they were blessed that you are steady and that you are sure, because otherwise you would have punished all of them and they would not have made it through. Father, I know that for us there are times in our lives that we feel that way. And we thank you for being sure. We thank you for being steady. We thank you for being faithful and true to your word. So, Father, with that, we allow your word to begin to move and to flow and to do what you desire to do in this broadcast. We ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression, and we choose, make a quality decision to also ask you to forgive our forefathers on both sides of our family. Father, our desire is to allow you, to allow the thousand generations of blessings to flow down through not only to us, but through us, to the generations that you have within our lineage. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for understanding more of what you desire of us and how you desire for us to move and to flow and to allow you to be within us and do what you desire to do. So with that, we submit this broadcast and the words that are being said here to you, so that you may get all the glory and all the praise in Yahushua's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to pass it back to you, Evangelist Anita, and if you could kind of give us a summation of where we are right now.
Yes. And so as the question was, what does it mean that the love of many has grown cold? As you're listening to the previous broadcast, you will realize that Rabbi John has gone in and he's talked about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and we're specifically dealing with blindness on this last show. And we were over in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, and this is where Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the Syrian army. In verse 16 and 17, there is a natural enemy, which in this case, as Rabbi was stated, was blindness. The spiritual aspect had the natural surrounded. And we know that the spirit, the third realm, the kingdom of heaven. Enemies are already in pursuit. Enemies try to paint the negative aspect of how things are not going to happen. The negative will engross itself around us before we see what Yah will do for us. The servant was blinded by a spirit of fear. And here, Rabbi asks us to look at our own lives and take inventory. See how diabolical the adversary is. we went over to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, and it's specifically talking about Hasatan. Hasatan desires to take the highest place in our lives. Satan uses fear to control us. Satan caused all the nations to fall. He imitated from the aspect of fear, as well as he uses the opposite of what Yah said. We went back over to 2 Kings 10, and we were specifically looking at verses 18 through 19. The servant only sees the glory and the power of Yah. Elijah takes the blindness from the young man and transfers it to the enemy. Here, you gave us an example of the story of Esther and Purim and how Haman wanted to totally annihilate the Jewish people. He wanted to see Mordecai hung, but the very thing that he had for Mordecai, he was hung in his own gallows. When we open our eyes to the Spirit, Yah will blind our enemies. You had me to read Matthew 15, 13 through 14, and that Greek word is tephilos, dealing with blindness in the physical or the mental. The adversary wants to affect the physical and the mental to the point that the manifestation of what the Father has already designed for us. We run into the problem when we believe what the adversary wants us to believe. He tricks us to believe his tricks or his plans, his trick plans for us. He beguiles us, i.e. like Eve. We allow ourselves to be blinded to the enemy or to the things of God, and we succumb to the enemy. We went also back to verse 17. When the servant's eyes were opened, they were blinded to the natural. Our mental capacity is open to Yah. Then the natural is close to what the enemy plans for us. You told us that hope builds belief, belief builds faith, faith builds trust and love. Either it works towards the Father or it falls away from the Father. It starts by not seeing. This causes blindness, and it is open to the devices or the diabolical schemes of the enemy. You tell us one way in which we're to regain is Proverbs 6:30 through 31. Something that belongs to you, the Father says that it's for you. You told us that you also had us to reference John 10, verses 3 through 5, which in summary talks about the sheep know my voice and a stranger's voice they shall not follow. You said, we're going to the just judge. Let the Father prove the enemy wrong. We should get sevenfold, the fullness of what he stole from our house. Get all that belongs to you plus interest. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Amen. Well, just to end, and I know that that was a mouthful for everyone to digest, but understand that when we talked about the lust of the flesh, we went into great lengths to really begin to break down what that meant, because all of these different eventful situations answer the question that was asked. They answer the question of how the love of many can grow cold. We started talking about it and beginning to break down the very elements of each and every one of us and the areas of susceptibility. This is part of that area of susceptibility. The lust of the flesh we talked about. Now we're getting ready to conclude tonight with this particular aspect of the lust of the eye. Keep in mind, as we said before, in order for the lust of the eye to be effective, we have to first begin to see that which is something that God has not desired for us to see. We have to understand that the Father had already opened the eyes of both Adam and Eve to only see the glory. They didn't see their nakedness. They didn't see the natural. They had no idea that they were not clothed, because in what they saw in themselves and in the Father was the glory, the Shekinah. So their spiritual eyes were completely open to and only to the Spirit. Now that's something that we can take with us in trying to understand why in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, why it was so odd for the servant to see and try to understand in the spiritual when the spiritual was not something that he was able to comprehend. You and I were created, and this is very important, you and I were created to see, to perceive, and to be very much aware of the spiritual realm. That's the way we were created. Although we had and do have natural instincts and all of the attributes and characteristics of a tangible being on this earth, they in themselves were all focused on the spiritual realm. That is what was natural. What we have today and where we are today and what we think is natural is not. It's abnormal. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So we have to understand that when we begin to sense and to see the enemy in the manner in which we do see the enemy in the natural, that's not the way God created it. That is not natural. So as we go through this study, begin to ask the Father to correct that which is abnormal in us. As a matter of fact, I'm going to lead us in a prayer just because I really sense that that is so important. So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, first of all, we ask forgiveness for allowing the abnormalities of the things in our life to be considered natural. It is not natural for us, Father, to see the negativity, to apprehend those things that are not positive and are not glorifying you and honoring you. It is not natural for us to gravitate to any of those things. So, Father, in the aspect in which we have done that this day, we take responsibility for our inadequacies and areas where we've influenced that which is negative and that which is damnable and not that which is glorious. Father, we ask that you wash our eyes with your spiritual eye salve so that we, like the servant, can see the Spirit and understand and know and continue to walk in the Spirit as we see it. Father, we thank you for giving us Yeshua, who in the book of John began to talk about and explain in chapter 8 how he himself only did what he saw in the Spirit his Father did. So, Father, we realize that the disconnect that we're having with this particular question involves our ability to see versus not to see the spirit realm. That is what we desire. That's what we need. We need the spiritual ISAF every day so that we refocus on that which is spiritual, that which is godly, that which is what you have called for us to do on a daily basis. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. So with that being said, it's imperative, like we said, to see that that's what normal is. So when your or my love begins for Yah begins to wax cold. That means that you and I are beginning to sink into a lull that is not of God. Because if Yah creates the new mercies every day, then that means that he's always creating something new, exciting, and wonderful, and spectacular for us to not only get excited about, but us to participate in. When I lose track of the fact that Yah is created this world for me to participate in, not to just observe, but to participate in. When the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are moving in an individual to bless another individual, you are participating in what the Father is wanting to do. We were created to participate in. When we don't sense or feel as though we are fulfilling the things that, that our chiastic structure, let's say, is saying that we were called to do, then it's very easy at that point for the fire of God inside of us to begin to draw colder and colder, to begin to shrink in emphasis and importance. As we shrink in our ability to flex our spiritual muscles to allow Yah to use us on a daily basis, then it's very easy at that point for the love to draw cold, because we are literally stepping away and moving from his glory. There is so much spiritual warmth and fire in the presence of God and in the presence of his glory that you can't find yourself in a lull if you're in the Holy of Holies with him. Now, the further out you go from that particular place of fellowship, then it's guaranteed that the love of many will grow cold to the things that are important. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very easily understood. Now, to help us to identify, even though we may have a good idea, but to help us identify with not only the fleshly things, but also the areas of our mind, will, and emotions that are starting to go contrary to God, I want us to go to Romans chapter 8, and I'll have you probably start off at like maybe 7 or 6, and we'll probably go to like 8 or 9. But I want y'all to pay attention as Evangelist Tania reads that. And that's Romans chapter 8, probably starting at probably verse 6, and then finishing at verse 8 or 9.
Okay. I'm ready whenever you are.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. All right, Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now for anyone that does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his.
Okay, we'll stop there for just a second. No, we can stop there. Okay. Now, it says, and I think, let's back up to like verse 7 and read verse 7 again.
Okay. Yes. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be.
Okay. Now, it's imperative for us to understand that when he's talking about, he being, of course, Paul, when he's talking about the fact that the carnal mind is enmity against God. We know that that means it's diabolically against, as an adversarial. Okay? Now, we may not want to think that we're being a part of the enemy camp in this aspect, but we are. It's just a matter of manifestation. In other words, when you have stepped across the line and become who they are and what they are, then it's now just a matter of the right stimulus that would cause you to act in every way the way they act. And we need to understand that so that we can protect ourselves from this problem or this syndrome that Paul's talking about, and that is a carnal mind. This carnal mind is in that same category of the lust of the eye. The lust of the eye causes a carnal mind. It causes your mind to not think and act according to God's word or God's law. If you don't act according to God's law, then we know from 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, we know from that you can't love God. And if you can't love God, then you're going to become quickly an enemy of him. And like I said, you're an enemy of him first, not because of what you actually have done, but it's because of what you're actually believing. Because you believe a lie, because you have connected with that which is evil, then the right stimulus that comes along uncovers the evil that you have yoked yourself up with. It will manifest, that evil will manifest before you. So it's imperative, it's important that we begin to understand that this carnal mind is an enemy to us. That carnal mind is what causes the lust of the eye, or is a product of, excuse me, the lust of the eye, because it is what you are allowing into your mind to develop the type of person that you are and the stimulus that in which you're going to act the way you act. It's the thoughts that are allowed that cause you or I to take our eyes off of Yah and start to put our eyes on things, and then because of that, the manifestation of those things begin to happen within us. Now, Matthew chapter, I want to say Matthew chapter 4, and we've talked about this as far as the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. But I want to read through that again and just commentate on that in closing so that you can really start to get a good feel for where these different enemies to our soul are coming from and how they are enacting us, how they're connecting to us, how they have found entry into us and into our lives. All right, and that's Matthew chapter 4, okay? I'm going to probably start with verse 2 or 3, probably verse 3.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
Okay,
then
stop
the
there.
Devil. Okay.
All right. When we stop living by the Word of God, when we stop doing that, then that is when the tempter can begin to infiltrate our lives. This is very, very important for us to understand and see. Satan never attacks us in our strength. He always, in every single case, always attacks us in our weakness. Okay? Read verse 2, if you would. I know we didn't read verse 2, but I want you to read it so that people can see, so that we can all see that Satan only comes when we are vulnerable. He never, ever comes when we're not. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 2. And when he, who we know is Jesus, Yeshua, had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry.
And read verse 3 now.
Okay. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.
Okay. Now, I want you to skip from there to Luke chapter 4, 13. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13.
All right.
Because this will help everyone to see, I pray, that the adversary comes when he has in his mind a opportunity to strike. What he considers an opportune time, meaning a time when
Amen.
You're weak. Go ahead.
Luke 4:13. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time.
There you go. In other words, the adversary only strikes when he knows he has all of the cards in his favor. When he has a situation that is conducive to him winning and you losing, when you are the weakest or vulnerable, that's when he's going to strike. The same way he did with Eve when she received a untruth or a lie from her husband pertaining to the fact that if she were to touch the fruit, that, you know, she would have sinned. It's imperative that we stay in truth. If we stay in the aspect of truth, the land of truth, we're always protected by that same truth that we're living by. As we live by this truth, that truth automatically protects us from evil. It automatically. You don't have to ask truth to do it. It's like what is said in John chapter 8, and if you can go there, John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32.
Okay, I'm there, Rabbi.
All right. Yeah, go ahead and read.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The truth is guaranteed to make you free. And the knowing of the truth is us walking in it, not just understanding that it is, but living by what we understand that is. In other words, when we know that this is truth and this is what should be done, and we begin to walk in, be obedient to what should be done, then we are free. It is imperative for us to understand that that truth and our obedience to that truth is what makes us free. It does it for us. We don't do it ourselves. Our sheer obedience to it causes us to be freed from sin, iniquity, and the bondage that comes with it. And we'll talk more on this on our next broadcast. Advantage Tanita, if you could share with the individuals how they can get more information if they desire, as well as any love gifts that they may desire to give.
Yes. And so the ministry is Beth Hashem Ministries. We have two websites in which you can research or obtain information on. The first one is www.bethhashem.org. And the second one is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, if you would email us at bethhashem@yahoo.com for directions. Also, for those that may desire to have a more in-depth study, a more Hebraic understanding, we have Zuhl College. If you're interested in that, you can email us at office@bethhashem.org. And again, for those that would like to donate or looking to partner with us with the radio, if you would also go to the website, which is www.bethhashem.org, if the Spirit is leading you to participate with donations. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi Jones.
Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you, Father, that you're teaching us how to be submitted to your truth and to live within that truth, knowing that the truth itself, not us, but the truth, as we're obedient to it, will set us free. It will increase our love and our obedience and our relationship with you. That's what we desire. That's what we need. That's what we want. So, Father, as we submit this word to you and allow it to begin to permeate inside of us and just begin to touch areas in us that need to be set free, allow the truth of your word to go to those areas so that we will automatically be set free. We glorify you and honor you. In Yahushua's name, we pray. And until next time, Shalom Shalom.